The Mama Take Heart podcast with Rabrina Rettle is brought to you by Life Audio and is a part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Welcome to Mama Take Heart, Understanding Your Gen Z Girl. I'm your host, Rabrina Rettle, and I'm here to help you be the gospel-centered, compassionate, and influential voice in your girl's life. My guest today is Latasha Ferguson. She's a speaker, writer, podcast host of Overcome to Become, a podcast dedicated to empowering women to overcome anything that dares to stand in between them and who God created them to be. Latasha is also a ministry leader, passionate educator, who has spent the past 16 years serving in the roles of teacher, assistant principal, principal, and now director of instruction. Latasha is a wife to her best friend, mom to four beautiful girls, ranging from age 6 to 21 years old. Welcome, Latasha.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's such an honor to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. And, you know, I wanted you to join us today because I listened to your podcast and you have such a beautiful God story. And
I thought
it would be such an encouragement to others. And also because you have been through and are still walking alongside our mamas. As I stated earlier, your oldest is 21. And so I thought that you could help us and have some, maybe some advice for mamas who have girls graduating and going to college next fall or transitioning into the full-time workforce.
Yes.
So let's first talk about your God story. Amen. And I understand why you call your podcast Overcome to Become. So let's start by you telling us a little bit about your story.
Yeah. So wow. At 19, I found myself with two young kids, which was not at all a part of my dream and what I wanted to do. I was very active in high school, but encountered a relationship that my parents absolutely forbid. But, you know, and maybe some of the mamas out there listening that are maybe encountering that now with their daughters or sons, you know, it was enticing to be in a relationship that my parents didn't want me to be in. And so there I was. I was a very strong-willed child. leader, I would call it now, right? So I wanted things my way. And so got into this relationship and thought I was very much in love. Found myself a senior in high school with my first daughter. And again, it really just shattered everything that I had thought that I was going to pursue and do. And so there I was having to think about where my life was going to go next and face my decisions. And so tried to stay in that relationship, tried to make it work. Second daughter came along while I was in college, again, trying to make that relationship work all the time, knowing deep in my heart, the Lord was saying, because I knew the Lord, right? Grew up in church, a PK, preacher's kid. And so it really crushed my parents too, to see me go in this direction that they never imagined that I would go into. And thank God for the power of prayer. Because finally I came to a point where it was a breaking point where, you know, I knew in my heart that I was going in the wrong direction, but I had this encounter where I got into an altercation. And I'm not very that type of nature. I don't get into physical altercations, but it was a moment where I believe God used that to say, hey, knocking on my heart very loudly, are you finally finished? Are you done with going and doing things your way, right? And again, I know now that was the prayers of my parents and others who love me that allowed me to get into that situation. And I needed to be there to see where my decisions had brought me. And so there I was, 19 going on 22 kids, and I had a decision to make. I could either keep going in that same direction or I could surrender to God and go the way he wanted me to go. And so it didn't necessarily make it easy making that decision, but I did. And there I moved out, came to Orlando where I am now with two kids and a couple hundred bucks in my bank account. Not much. It definitely is a God story because God provided for me ever since then. Wow. And for me, it was a matter of literal, maybe not physical life and death, but spiritually, emotionally, mentally, if I did not leave that place and I didn't break free from that relationship, I would have withered away, you know, and again, not physically, but probably mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And so had to get away. And that really started my journey of my faith journey and leaning and trusting totally on God. Was on welfare and barely had, you know, money to make ends meet, working a full-time job, going to college at the same time. Thankful for my community and my parents who assisted when they could, my sister and friends. But it was tough. It was tough, tough, tough trying to raise two kids when I was still a kid myself. Trying to still, you know, get through college and work and provide and all of those things that I had no idea how to do and really was not mature enough to do all of them. But there I was, I had to lean on God and go forward in that. And so thankfully, you know, through that journey, I did meet my husband and, you know, we ended up marrying. I did finish my degree and became an educator and then really continued to see God just blossom. We became a blended family and saw how God, you know, used all of those pieces and things that I had went through when there was times where I thought, wow, how could God do anything with any of this? And I had really just, I felt, made a mess of my life and really went in such a wrong direction. I just didn't know if God could truly redeem me. You know, I say that now and I feel like I could cry. I'm not going to, but I did. I fell. I was like, wow, I'm so far off. How can God do anything with my life? Because I just didn't choose the right path from the beginning. But God took that thought and he totally changed it for his glory. And now looking back, I see, wow, God really redeemed, you know, redeemed the time for me. Every decision that I made that was not the right decision, which was, you know, going in the wrong direction or just being rebellious, period, and disobedient, God used those things. Yes, I still had to go through and struggle because of my decisions, but God still, through his favor and grace, brought me to where I am now. And I look back and I literally can weep because I know that it wasn't of my own doing. It wasn't just hard work. It wasn't just hustling that got me here. It was God's just unending grace and favor that has brought me here. And so now having two grown kids, those two little girls that I had at 19 are now grown and just turned 22 and 20. So I have to say that because when they listen, they'll go, Mom, we're actually 22 and 20. So yeah. So when I wrote that bio, they were 21 and 19, but they're 22 and 20. And they're what I call semi-adults because, you know, parents who have kids that age, you're probably shaking your head out there. They think they're grown, but not quite. So I call them semi-adults.
Yeah.
But they both graduated from high school, in college. And so again, God's amazing grace. So that's a little bit of my story.
How did you get into, I want to go into how you got into ministry and your podcast.
I've always liked to write and journal. And it's always been very therapeutic for me. And so along my journey, I've written things down. And, you know, since I was a kid, I remember a pastor that we had going to a conference when I was very young saying, you know, you're going to preach the word of God one day. And, you know, when you're young, you're like, okay, what does that mean? And so I would hear elders in my family or even my parents say, you know, God is on your life and you're going to have to go the direction God wants you to. You can fight it, but you're going to have to go in that direction. And for so long, I fought it. Oh my gosh, I fought it. I didn't want to go in that direction. I had my own plans, right? But I knew that all that God had brought me through, that my story could, you know, if it could just help one person, that I needed to tell it, I needed to share it. And there was a process with that, because when you go through things of that nature, the enemy will try to close your mouth with shame, and he will try to throw shame on you. So shame was on me like a thick cloak and a blanket for years. And I didn't want to speak or say anything because for fear of judgment, for fear of people saying, why did you make that decision? You know, all of those things, which all of those things were in my head mainly. It wasn't that people were really saying those things about me, but shame kept my mouth closed for too long. And I would share only parts of my story, but not all of it, again, out of shame and guilt and all of those things, just closing my mouth. And then finally, I decided a few years back, well, I am an ordained minister. So that happened probably about 10 years ago, where I finally said, okay, God, I want you to use me however you want to use me and tell parts of my story. And I was telling a friend one time that I found that every time I told a little bit more of my story and a little bit more, I found more freedom and I felt more free and I felt more free. And the enemy could no longer use that to beat me over the head because, hey, I already told it. It's already out there, right? And so the more he would say, hey, close your mouth and don't say that. People are going to judge you. People are going to talk about you. I would just say it even more and say it even more and found levels of freedom that I didn't even know were there for me to grasp. And so then it empowered me and I felt more confident to tell more of my story. And so then came, you know, the podcast where it was literally like you and I were talking before we started this, a leap of faith where I was just like, okay, maybe. And it was my second oldest daughter that was like, hey, mom, you love to speak and you love to share. Why won't you just do a podcast? And I thought, oh, I don't even know what that entails. I don't even, I don't have time to learn all of those things, right? I don't have time, you know, all the excuses that we have. And so I said, let me just take it little by little, join some communities, got a podcasting coach. And I said, you know what, let me just make this leap of faith. And my husband's like, listen, if it doesn't work, then you at least tried it. Right. And what's the harm in that? You know, we gave away some time, but if it does, how many people would be touched by your story and God would get the glory from all of that. Mm. And so last September, I just jumped out afraid and launched my podcast, only half knowing what I was doing. And so
I understand.
I know you said you can relate. And so here it is now, 20 plus episodes later and two seasons, that I'm still in awe because I still feel like I'm, you know, going along by, you know, God just, you know, helping me each step of the way. And teaching me things as I go. And so my goal really is just for people to find freedom and to know who God is. And I had someone reach out to me probably about a few months ago when I was in that spot. And I'm pretty sure you can relate where you're like, is all of this worth it? Why am I doing all of this? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And I had a young lady reach out to me on Instagram. I don't know her at all. And she's not connected to any of my friends. And she said, you know, I had walked away from God. And I had a really rough life and been through some things. And she said, I just found your podcast.
Oh my goodness.
And she said, I've decided to turn my heart back to God. And oh goodness, I could weep. But she said, and your podcast has been such a help. You don't even know how much it has. And so I just thought, okay, God, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, because there's someone out there who needs to find God. And there's so many people who feel that God's angry with them and that he hates them because of their past and what they've done or even what they're currently doing. And none of that is true. So if I can convince at least one person that God still loves you, no matter what, look at what he's done for me, it's all worth it.
In the past, I've heard someone say that the Lord will take your mess and make it your ministry. And I have found that to be the case too. I just know in my life also that he does not waste a thing. He doesn't waste a hurt. He doesn't waste a tear.
No.
Like, and through Jesus, Jesus is the Redeemer.
Amen.
And he can redeem everything, anything back to him. Your oldest daughters are 20 and 22. How do you deal with them transitioning into adulthood?
I can sit here and pretend like I was like, oh yes, I am just, you know, having faith in God and I'm letting it all go. And, it, or I can tell you the truth. And let you know, and tell you that it was difficult, right? Very difficult. My husband had started, you know, as he started getting older, he was like, listen, you know, they're going to need, when they are a semi-adults and adults like that, like you said, they need their space. They need their time. They need to be able to scrape their knees. They need to be able to, you know, they need all of that. Otherwise, we enable them. And the goal is not for them to live with us forever. Right. Hopefully that's not everyone's goal for your child to live. You want them to go out and fly eventually. Mm-hmm. Right. And so for me, it was not, I thought at once, you know, especially being a high school teacher, my husband was two. I thought, okay, I get it. Like, we're going to be totally cool. And yeah, understanding and all of that and very open-minded. But when it comes to your own kids, yeah. And your own idea of what you think their life should be. So that's what I struggled with the most, because I was like, well, my idea is that I want you to go to this school and have that type of life and do this and do some things that I didn't get a chance to do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we think we don't put our own wishes of ourselves on our kids, but we do, whether that's consciously or subconsciously. And we put our fears. And so I remember my second oldest, who's very outspoken, wonder where she gets that from. She was like, she one day said, Mom, you know, you're putting your fears on us. Mm. You're being so, you know, controlling in so many words. You're saying that it's for the best, but you're really telling us all these things because you're afraid that we're going to make mistakes or do what you did or all these other things that we're so afraid of. We can name 101 things as a parent that we feel like could go wrong with our kids. And she was like, you know, it's smothering us in so many words, right? Like, you're almost pushing us to make mistakes because you're just constantly, you know, what are you doing? And come on, no, don't do that. And let me guide you through this and let me do that. So it was, first of all, the change in perspective and shift away, letting go of that control and knowing that this new season is going to be, like you said, a different type of parenting. It's not the same like we parented when they were toddlers and elementary, middle, and all of that, adolescence. It's a totally different mind shift. Mm-hmm. It's still, I laugh because I told my husband, I know oh so well that scripture when it talks about Moses told the children of Israel, teach your kids in the morning, teach them, you know, at noonday, teach them at night. And I'm totally paraphrasing. And I was like, why did he keep saying teach them and teach them and teach? Now I know, right? Why it says teach them and teach them and teach them. Because when they're older, they're still teaching. But the difference is, you know, when they're younger, you can say, you will not do that. I mean, that's just that you're not going to do that. Nope. You're not doing it. Mm-hmm. When they're older, you have to say, you have choices.
Right. Right.
You can choose this or you can choose that. And right. So through some fussing and going back and forth, again, I want to be totally honest that it was not a smooth, like I just let it go. But just some, you know, having to have talks with them, my husband and all of us together, letting that go, like, you know what, if they do have to scrape their knees and they're going to have to scrape them and they got to learn because it's going to make them tougher and stronger as they go forward. And you don't like that. My mother-in-law always say kids go from your lap to your heart. That's what it is. You know, when they're babies, you can carry them and you can have more kind of control. Right. Mm-hmm. And then they go to your heart because they do start driving. Like you said, with curfew, they start doing all kinds of things and you don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Right. You have no idea. So it's a whole nother growth in your faith as well. But you know, as far as like transitioning, whether it's here at home that they stay, again, it's shifting your mindset either way. And I love what you said earlier about saying we wouldn't know what they were doing anyways. So why would we control them so tightly here, right? Versus if they lived on campus. And so, you know, just shifting and then allowing them, putting boundaries in place and saying, we're going to help you like this. But if you go in that direction, you're going to have to eat that consequence. That's not easy. As a mom, you want to save your kids. You don't want to see them in heartache. But again, you don't want them living with you all of their life either. And you want them to be able to stand on their own two feet. Mm-hmm. So I would say for me, the biggest change in what I would advise moms out there, even if your kids are in middle or high, is giving a little bit more responsibility to them. And, you know, as they get closer to be a senior and even more responsibility to them, you know, especially the moms out there with seniors, you're still washing your kids' clothes. Hello. who are still clean up your kids' bathrooms, ouch, who are still doing all those things, not making your kids cook. Those things, you need to start letting those things go and letting your kids do those things on their own.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's life preparation, really.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. So, and then just letting them make their mistakes. It just will, you know, my daughter called me and she's like, oh my goodness. I don't know if I can get my books. I mean, I said, well, you signed up for your classes and you knew you had to get your book. Oh, when your classes, well, classes start on Monday and it's Friday and they ran out of this book and then I can't get a hold of somebody. And then, what do you want me to do? You know, before I'd have been like, all right, let me take control. I'm going to drive and I'm going to find the book for you.
Yes.
This last time I was like, well, talk to your professor. I guess you won't have a book. You can't do the first assignment. I don't know what else to say. So again, letting your kids experience those things and not being that helicopter mom or an educator. In education, we call it now the lawnmower parent. Have you heard of that?
Yes. Where you just mow things out the way for them.
Yes.
That came out of that. What happens when you do that was shown in the college scandal.
Exactly.
Moving any boundary or anything that could, whether it was in an honest or dishonest way.
Yes.
Just move everything out of the way. Because this is where they're going to go to school. This is what they're going to see. And, you know, some of those kids I felt bad for because some of them didn't know what was happening. And they were embarrassed that their parent would do that.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. And it doesn't help them. It does not help them. Hey, I told you to study for the SAT. You didn't. You stayed up late. I told you to bed. You got that score. You can't get in now.
Well, guess you're going to be a transfer.
Right? Yeah, you're going to be a transfer. And I think with parents, sometimes it's, if we're honest, it's the shame we hold and the pride, right? Like we want all of our friends and neighbors to know that. So that's the other piece of advice I'd say, let all that go. Right. Mm-hmm. Let all that go of like, oh, my child's going to Stanford. My child's going to go to Brown. My child's going to go here, which those are all great things and not talking bad about all that. But you got to make sure that you're not forcing that so much for your own pride and for how you want people to see you and do what's best for your kid. And if staying at home is best, going to community college, going to a technical school. Hello. Okay. Yes. Those technical jobs make really good money. Mm-hmm. Doing those things, a 2-year college, that's what they're supposed to do. That's right. And just make sure that we don't put what we feel it should be on them. Because it's the relationship with them that matters most. And we don't want to drive them away trying to put our dreams on them.
Well, Atasha, I am so glad that you joined us today. This was a very good conversation for our mamas on self, on ourselves, and on how to help our kids and in the transitioning into adulthood for them, which that transition, it's longer than people think it is. It's a longer transition than you're 18 or you're 21. It's a longer transition. No, so. No. be patient with yourself and be patient with them. And always, of course, in prayer, seek help from the Lord. Mm-hmm. He will give you wisdom and discernment and how to have those conversations. And of course, seek prayer from the Lord to also give that wisdom and discernment to your child and, you know, for him to cover them in protection.
So. Yes, I agree.
All right. So how can our mamas connect with you?
Yeah. So the best way is my website. It's in the midst of getting rebuilt, but it's still up there, LatashaFerguson.com. And then I love hanging out on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So at Latasha M, for M is for Monique, Ferguson is my handle. Okay. And then you can also email me if you want, Latasha@LatashaFerguson.com.
Okay. Well, we will put the links to all of that in the show notes.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay, mamas. Well, just remember that God is for you and you are not alone. With his spirit, you are filled with courage and strength of purpose. So don't fret, mama. Instead, take heart.
Mama Take Heart is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you liked what you just listened to, would you take a second and leave us a rating in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find our show. This podcast is produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. You can find more podcasts like this over at lifeaudio.com.
You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God looks at your heart, not your jean size. Do you know the verses, yet still stress over your body? Oh, I get it. I was raised in church, but I struggled with food, eating disorders, and my body for decades. I'm Heather Creekmore, host of the Compared To podcast, where we talk about all things body image and comparison from a biblical perspective. We get real about the pressure to focus on appearance in a culture where looks seem to matter most. Whether you're wrestling wrinkles or battling the scale, Compared To is the show for you. You'll laugh a little and be encouraged a lot. If you're ready to stop comparing and start living, visit lifeaudio.com to listen and subscribe.